Broadcasting live from the Regis Business Center and office suites at Satellite Place in Duluth, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio. Gwinnett Business Radio spotlights and highlights companies in Gwinnett County and the people who lead them.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio. I am your host, Mike Salmon, alongside Stephen Julian. Good morning, Stephen.
Morning, Mike. I want to break a rule right off the bat. Is that okay?
Wouldn't be the first time, so go right ahead.
And it certainly won't be the last. These broadcasts are supposed to be timeless, and they are. However, I would be remiss if I didn't take a moment, especially with you, to celebrate the Boston Red Sox going to the World Series this year. So congrats to the Red Sox, right? I mean, we can take a moment.
I'll let you break the rules and be not timeless.
Be a Sox fan.
And hopefully a month from now, somebody's listening to the broadcast on Business Radio X. We'll have won the World Series
exactly,
by then.
Exactly. Wicked hot. All right, go ahead, Mike.
I thought you were going to congratulate me because my rec baseball team, which is in the same league that your rec baseball team is in, that we're in first place.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on that. So. And we're starting the tournament.
So. Yes, we are.
Let's get to the show.
All right. We've got a wonderful show today. We're going to be talking about the Community Foundation for Northeast Georgia, a wonderful cause. And joining us will be the Executive Director, Judy Waters, also the President of the Board. He's been on the board for 20 years, now serving as the President, Mr. Bill Short. And good morning, Judy, and good morning, Bill.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Judy, I'm going to ask you a very simple, basic question. The Community Foundation for Northeast Georgia, what do you do?
Well, it's a wonderful story, and I'm happy to share that with you. We are a nonprofit organization, one of about 12 community foundations in the state, about 700 in the nation. We were organized and founded in 1985. Our mission is to promote philanthropy. Just as you may have seen our tagline, we connect people who care with causes that matters. We assist the community in all sorts of charitable giving intent. And it's just a pleasure to work with many, many donors, those who have been here for years and want to give back to the community. They can do so through us, most typically through a donor advised fund. And then there's scholarship funds, so on and so forth. But we're also a great resource for those folks who have just moved into our county. As you well know, we've grown quite fast, and we have about 850,000 folks out there now. And our community foundation certainly is a grand resource for those agencies that folks might be interested in and yet not know completely about it. That's our job to research and provide them the information they need.
What areas do you serve? Are you specifically Gwinnett County, or do you go beyond the borders?
Actually, when we first began, we were the Gwinnett Community Foundation. But then shortly after that, we realized that this is a regional area. There really are no jurisdictional boundaries. We try in the state of Georgia to cover all the bases. But I have funds even in other states. We have a scholarship fund from a family in Pennsylvania, the Atlanta Community Foundation, and a few of the folks up in the Gainesville area. They also have their foundation, but we all work together. So we serve everyone, you might say.
Now, Judy, you're the executive director. How long have you been the executive director?
I have been with the foundation now 9+ years. And it's been a real joy for me to sort of have this top off a career of public service in Gwinnett.
Bill, you're currently the president, but you've been on the board for over 20 years. What is it that keeps you around? It must be obviously a very worthy cause.
I think it's a great cause. One of the things that we've now been in existence for 28 years, during that period of time, we've raised over $80 million. And so we've given back $52 million into the community and have the rest of it that's still invested and looking for a place to land as we move forward. So we've had just very generous donors over the years. And in a previous life, I was a banker and in the wealth management world. And we had a number of our clients who wanted a place to put some money and go into a foundation, but yet didn't want to bear the expense of starting their own private foundation. And so the Community Foundation offers a great vehicle for doing that, and we've been quite successful. And it's just a way for me to give back to the community with some very worthy causes and some really good people.
So what are the advantages for someone, a business owner, individual, or a group of people? What are some of the advantages of them working with a foundation like you guys as opposed to doing it themselves? And also kind of a follow-up question on top of that before you've even answered the first one. Unpack the process for us a little bit of someone, how someone would start working with you and then how it would continue over time.
Let me go back to the first question again. Yes, the advantages, of course. We provide a very efficient mechanism for your charitable intent, charitable giving, so on and so forth. You know, there are folks out there who do start up a private foundation, which is wonderful, serves great causes. But more than likely, there's an employee or two involved in that or extra cost involved. Whereas with the Community Foundation, you certainly can have your private foundation held by us, and wee bit more tax benefit, but we're just very efficient way to handle your charitable giving. We have online capabilities of donation as well as review of your fund, and it becomes just a really great tool for the busy businessman or the couple who have possibly retired and want to maintain the Gwinnett that they knew and loved all these years, and we allow appreciated stocks, the sale of property, so forth and so on. So your tax advisor is basically our best friend.
And I'd also say that you have access to some very high-quality investment advisors that perhaps you wouldn't have if you only had, and I hate to say only, if you only had $50,000 or $100,000, we've got some just very good advisors that really do give us great professional advice in managing that money because, again, the foundation's been around for 28 years. This is much more of an endowment type of a gift, and it's very important that it's here for the long term and it's protected in both up and down markets.
And I believe the second question was, I guess, where does the process begin?
Yeah, so walk us through the process. Someone comes to you and says, hey, I want to work with you guys. What do they walk through?
Actually, that begins a process of getting to know one another. It's a very personalized situation, and it's not one that usually takes place overnight. We form our relationships and actually with several meetings, with several concerns or questions, making sure that future donor is very comfortable. Some come to us with references of maybe family, friends who are donors. Some come to us perhaps from another area in the country where they just know the good of a community foundation and what it does. It is built on relationships. There has to be a lot of trust and a lot of engagement from our organization so that they feel comfortable that their passions are being addressed.
Judy Waters and Bill Short from the Community Foundation for Northeast Georgia joining us here on Gwinnett Business Radio. Your tagline, you mentioned, Judy, connecting people with who care with causes that matter. What are some of the causes? What are some of the organizations that you support?
Well, obviously, we like to think we support our entire service area as much as we can. Now, we have a discretionary fund that is within our foundation that we use proceeds from that in order for our grants committee to grant back to the community. Our donors are just all over the place with their causes, and we help them if they need that and make sure they're good at doing a good job.
Do you have are some of those donors anonymous? Can they remain anonymous if
yes,
they wanted to?
Oh, yes, they sure can.
Okay.
They sure can, and that's very important to many, many folks, and you can change that if you wanted it differently. You know, we offer really great personal service, great customer service. We have, this year, our grants took a different turn, and we were trying to reach maybe a couple of impactful grants that really could complete an agency's maybe a capital campaign, so forth and so on. So we granted two challenge grants to the PADV, which is Partnership Against Domestic Violence. Been around in Gwinnett for years and years and years. They've really brought their whole organization up a notch, and they had an outstanding capital campaign, and we were able to offer them a challenge grant, a one-to-one challenge of $25,000. So they were able to take that $50,000 and finish their campaign, basically. We also granted to the North Gwinnett Cooperative Ministry. Gwinnett is filled with cooperative ministries, food banks. There's just not enough to go around. In all areas of the county, there is usually, for instance, there's in Lawrenceville, there's in Norcross, so on and so forth. The one in North Gwinnett applied to us, and they have also taken a step forward, you might say a leap of faith, to buy a facility that will service several times the number of clients that they did before. And so we offered them a challenge grant with a 2-to-1 payback. And so we offered them a $40,000 grant at 2-to-1. So they raised 80, and they were able to put $120,000 toward the cost of the building that they were able to buy at a great price. You wrap yourself into these causes, and the most valuable part of all of what we do is to see the faces of the clients that they serve. We've granted to Rainbow Village, which certainly you've probably interviewed them. They do a wonderful job addressing the needs of the homeless. We have a fund for Lieutenant Governor Casey Cagle, he's a fund holder. But anyway, it's primarily focused on single moms raising kids, because he gives his credit to his mom for that. We have also granted to the Georgia Gwinnett College, Gwinnett Tech, on and on.
I was going to say, I have a feeling if you were just to start listing all the people you've done grants for, we would be here a long, long time.
Long time. I do have to say one, though, that I'm very proud of. This year, we worked personally with the Oklahoma City Community Foundation, and were able to have a disaster relief fund focused on the tornado relief that they went through for the children's causes. And we were able to distribute a grant to them for the children's car seats and cribs.
Earlier, each of you talked about the donors, and Bill mentioned some of the size donations that people can get involved with, big or small. For those that may not be in a position to actually donate, mm-hmm. are there other ways to get involved with the foundation, for example, volunteering somehow?
Yes, indeed. We have a few opportunities for volunteerism and seem to have no problem at all filling those. But on the other hand, we have a minimum fund amount of, we'd like to say, around $10,000, sort of gets you into the program of philanthropy and allows you to reap the benefits of our services, and yet you realize the efficiency of what we do for your charitable intent.
Bill, you've been on the board for 20 years. You're also a business owner yourself. Talk a little bit to other business owners. How can they get involved? Obviously, donation is one way. But what would you like to see the businesses of Gwinnett County do, or the businesses of Northeast Georgia do, to become more involved with the Community Foundation?
Well, I think the foundation just offers a great conduit for meeting those needs of the community. And I think it's one of the things is sometimes people just want to give to maybe the hot topic. And one of the things that we do, we know everybody. We're there every day. We know the people that need money and need support. And it's not always just financial support. So I think it's a great opportunity for the businesses to get to know the foundation and really get to know the entire community. And there are ways that they can, that they or their employees or executives can donate, whether it might be appreciated stock, appreciated real estate. There's some tax advantages to that. Again, the majority of people that give to us are giving out of the goodness of their heart, not the goodness out of their tax return. But it's nice to get, you know, a tax benefit, and it makes it, if you had some appreciated stock, as opposed to going out and selling the stock and having to pay a capital gains, if you just give us the stock, you get the full benefit in most cases of that donation, and there is no tax consequence to you or the foundation. So the foundation and the community gets 100% benefit, you know, of that particular donation. But again, I think most businesses, they're very busy doing whatever it is they do and keeping their employees happy and keeping their customers happy and keeping their shareholders happy. The fourth leg is the community, and I think that's a that's what we can really offer to people to really know who needs the help and how to help them out.
So one other question for you guys. At the beginning of the interview, we kind of talked to, I think, Judy, you mentioned that if someone has charities they want to work with, you guys can help with that. But then you also have charities that the Community Foundation has developed great relationships with. So you're kind of connecting both sides. You go out to the community and work with the nonprofits, but you're also helping the donor. So if a donor comes to you and says, I know exactly where I want to give my money, I just want you guys to help me facilitate that, you can do that. But also, you can also counsel them on, here's some good nonprofits we want you to look at. Kind of unpack that a little bit.
Absolutely. And that's a real joy, because we have several donors now, and have since I've been there, that actually meet with me toward the end of the year, obviously, and discuss their wish list. Because, you know, one has always, say, if they've always been passionate about children's causes or whatever that cause may be, they always want me to come prepared for researching the agency that they've always given to make sure they're in great shape, but as well as offer up suggestions. They want to know about the new kid on the block that's doing a great job and where you can see the results, so forth and so on. So that's really where we come in with a great service. And it works. We do that with several donors. We also have the legacy giving, which is another whole topic. But I want to mention that because we can also craft that agreement so that after a person passes and the estate settle, their passions still support the community and they still are a part of the quality of life of this community.
We're talking all about the Community Foundation for Northeast Georgia here on Gwinnett Business Radio. Our guests are Judy Waters, the executive director, and Bill Short, who's been on the board for over 20 years and currently serves as the president of the board. Both of you spoke earlier about all the great work that has happened over the years that the foundation has done. Bill even went into some of the numbers. What are your goals, short-term goals, maybe some long-term goals, a couple years down the road, 5, 10 years down the road? Where do you see the foundation going?
Let me take a shot at that, Judy. We just finished a strategic plan back in the fall of last year to kind of see where we're going to be going for the next 5 to 10 years. And one of the things, if you look at the history of community foundations, in the early years, you're getting people that are giving, I'm going to call them relatively small gifts, where the really large gifts come are through the planned giving and, if you will, the maturing of wills. And those are some fairly significant dollars. So what you will see in the life cycle of a foundation is after 25 or 30 years, you're getting to that next generation, and those you're starting to get some significantly larger gifts. So what we'd like to see is to see the foundation, you know, double in size. Again, we have a lot of people that give us some very large gifts, but they have control of those gifts, and they might give us $1 million, but then they might pay out $1 million during the giving year because of a commitment to a school or a hospital or a church And so we're trying to raise those funds that we can keep permanently as well. And so we're working on some planned givings, trying to figure out how to be more effective in getting into people's estate plans and some of those much larger dollars. But we've got the needs of the county have grown significantly over 28 years. I mean, we've gone from being a little bit of a sleepy bedroom community, about 95% white, to all of a sudden we've got the most diverse county in the state of Georgia, and it's really what the future looks like, and there are many, many more needs. And so we want to be able to assist with those needs, and there are also a number of wealthy folks in the county that we want to assist on the giving side of the house. So we're looking to double and triple the size of the foundation. And let me pick up Judy from falling out of her chair, but she knows that we've set some very lofty goals. The economy over the last 5 years really hit a lot of people. And though in a couple of those years we had record giving years, people were still very philanthropic. And again, I credit that to the good work that the foundation has done over the years and the reputation, and the fact that we've had Judy for the past 9 years has really been very successful for the foundation.
And Bill, you mentioned all the needs that are out there. Judy, what is maybe the biggest need in this community, and how is the foundation addressing that need?
I think that two of the greater needs that I see now, and that they may be branching off again soon, but certainly homelessness and hunger. Hunger has just taken hold of so many lives, and the needs are there. They're always, they have to work so hard to provide for those, and provide for them in a way that is nourishing as well as cost effective. We had about 4 years ago decided that we would have two focus areas for our grants. We took our county, turned it inside out, and saw really what the needs were, and they fell in two categories: children and youth, and the elderly. And obviously that opens the doors to many services, but we've never changed that focus. We have our donors have given in large numbers to the arts and to their spiritual interest and so forth and so on. But from our perspective, we felt that we had, in order to do a good job and to honor our fiduciary responsibility, we needed to focus on what were truly the greatest needs. People today are very concerned about their community, but they are also very concerned about their families. And they want to follow the donation. So I'm going to make this quick, but in a case of the Oklahoma City tragedy, we had done this with several others, Katrina and tsunami. We have a small group of donors that want to do that, and we open the fund up, and we take the donations in, and then we do our research, but we allow the big boys to get in and out, the Red Crosses and all that, and they do great work, but they do it on such a scale. So we hold back and we do our research, and for instance, our donors, which probably there was maybe 15 donors to that fund, we actually keep them updated on where we are, who got the money. We presented in a video format last week, but they actually have the joy. They love it to follow where their money goes and to see how very much good it does, because it seems like a small amount of money, and yet we probably will be able to buy 40 or 50 car seats and 40 or 50 beds for those folks who were just blown away.
So Mike asked you about what some of the biggest needs are. I would imagine in your 20 years on the board and your 9 years with the organization, you guys have some interesting stories, because life is a story. So I'm wondering if a unique giving situation kind of comes to mind. We talked about the biggest needs, but what are some of the unique ones? Even if the story is there was a donor who wanted to give to this one organization we never heard of, but we started doing a little research and just an organization or a nonprofit or a situation that was just And unique might not be the right word because every giving situation is unique.
Judy, why don't you tell them the story about the automobile accident?
Okay, that was the one that I was thinking of, too. Very heartwarming story. I had actually joined the foundation, and the accident had happened the year before. There was a Gwinnett family here, young family, husband, wife, baby daughter, about 18 months old. Their parents lived in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. They were on their way to the airport on 85, and there was an accident, and it involved, I guess I can say the name?
Sure. Sure.
It was one of those gas tank horrifying things. But anyway, the settlement had happened, and the father had talked with the previous director and had implied that he might want to set up some type of fund in memory of his son's family. And that was in progress when I came on board. And he's there in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. He's retired military. And his son has come down here and settled into Gwinnett County, and knowing full well that he wanted his children to grow up in Gwinnett County. So they had formed some significant roots already. But anyway, when this horrible accident happened, Mr. Bailey had called me several times and just trying to decide what would be most impactful. And like you asked me about the relationships, that went on for about a year. And we finally decided that it would be very appropriate for him to have a scholarship fund. The criteria was set with the counselors at the Gwinnett County Public School System. He especially wanted that kid who was kind of under the radar, but very motivated. Being an ex-Marine, he wanted that motivation. And he wanted to continue to help them along as long as they did their part and worked hard and kept a certain grade point average. But anyway, long story short, we opened that fund with $1 million. And it was several years ago, and it is so heartwarming to review his record because he has sent five high school seniors all the way through college and has worked on one in graduate school, and this year he was able to start one into medical school. He does not know these folks. He called me, and I'll show you how our community is. He called me shortly before the agreement was reached, and he thanked me, and he said, you know, we really appreciate all you've done. You've helped us along the way so much, but I think we're going to leave it here. Well, the balloon just deflated, you know. I was thinking, I worked so hard on this. And we have just the community was just on fire with this family. And the story, so I called him back, and I've been in sales most of my life, and I thought, I gotta do the best sales pitch I've ever done for the foundation. But I approached it from my heart, and I said, Mr. Bailey, you know, this county has embraced your family. You know, I can't tell you all the activities that have stirred conversation around this effort of yours and blah, blah, blah. So 25 or 30 minutes later, he said, well, I'll send it to you, Judy, but it'll take a day or two. So we have formed the greatest relationship ever. And they drive down from Lancaster every year to be at our annual event. So it's amazing. I hadn't met him. And when we had our agreement signed, I asked one of my board members, and I approached one of our managers with our funds, and I said, I need to go to Lancaster to thank a gentleman that I've never met, and I need some help. And he was very happy to sponsor that trip.
Well, it was a great story in that the entire family was killed in the automobile accident, and so the family is, if you will, keeping their memory going with these scholarships and if you will, the loss of the young grandchildren, if you will. And so it's just, you know, it's a great story and a great effort on that Judy and the staff put together to
Well, I know we could stay here all day and talk about all the great stories and the great causes that that the organization has supported, the Community Foundation for Northeast Georgia. Before we let you go, first of all, for those that want to find out more information, or they want to be a donor, or they want to volunteer, or they want to get involved somehow, some way, what's the best way to find out more about your organization?
We are so easy to get in touch with. Our phone number, if we were on TV, I'd have one of those placards that says 770-813-3380. I'm available by cell phone. You can go to our website, contact us via email. We certainly would love to hear from you and hopefully share the joys of a relationship with the Community Foundation.
So if they were just to search for the Community Foundation for Northeast Georgia, it would pop up. But the website specifically is cfneg.org.
Exactly. And that's a little tricky sometimes, but it certainly beats Community Foundation for Northeast Georgia. But I do.
That would be very long.
It would be very long. And so I ask people to go to our website at www.c as in Charlie, F as in Frank, no as in Edward, E, no as in no, yeah. E as in Edward, and G as in Georgia. .org.
CFNEG.org.
Right.
Or Stephen likes to say, Stevisneg.
Yeah. Right, exactly. That's how I remember it.
And finally, the least we can do for Bill, you're, as Stephen mentioned at the top of the show, you're also a business owner. You're the president and CEO and owner of FiberTech Incorporated. At the very least, we'll give you a chance to plug your company. Tell us what you do with FiberTech.
Well, great. FiberTech is in the fiber optic business. We are a telecommunications type company, and we build and engineer fiber optic networks for people. Easiest way to think about it, if you think about voice, data, and video, that used to all travel on copper. A few years back, they started putting it on fiber, which is just glass, and shooting laser light beams through the glass. It's much faster, much more economical, much more secure. And for those people with smartphones and iPads and everything else that goes with that, that's where all that data and information is going through. And so there's been a big demand for the, if you will, the increase in bandwidth. And companies like ourselves, we build those networks for people that either own the networks, for major colleges and universities that have their own network, for the folks that own the cell phone towers. Many people don't realize, or they think that everything with a cell phone goes through the air, through microwaves. It really doesn't. Cell phone towers are actually, the phone call goes to the tower, it then goes down into the ground. Most of them are trying to be connected with fiber. They're connected with copper. And then, so if you made a phone call to California, it goes through the ground and comes out at a tower out there. Not, it doesn't go tower to tower to tower. It would never make it. And so that's what we do. And so the demand for bandwidth is what drives the demand for FiberTech services.
Bill, I hate to tell you this, but most of the population thinks that it's all on magic. So
we're the ones that create that magic, and so we'll show you what's going on behind the curtain.
And what is the if people want to get in touch with FiberTech, what's the website?
We are www.fibertechatlanta.com.
All right, Bill Short, the president owner of FiberTech Incorporated, but also the president of the Community Foundation for Northeast Georgia. And also Judy Waters, the Executive Director for the Community Foundation for Northeast Georgia. Thank you very much for both of you for joining us today on Gwinnett Business Radio.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be with you all.
Thanks for having us.
All right, Bill and Judy. A quick reminder that Gwinnett Business Radio can be heard throughout the day on the Gwinnett Business Radio X station, and that you can listen to any of these shows 24/7 by logging on to gwinnettbusinessradio.businessradiox.com. For Stephen, Julian.
It is always better to give than to receive, Mike.
Absolutely, and that was very evident today. We'll see you next time right here. I'm Mike Salmon, by the way. We'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.